speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Tonight I want to focus in on a lesson from Scripture as it deals with prayer. And as we enter into our time of study tonight, I want to begin by asking the question, how often do you pray? I remember a time in my life where that prayer was not that important to me. Not that it was not important, but to me I did not understand the seriousness and the significance of praying continually to our God. I've asked different ones that question from time to time, and I've received a mixed bag, if you would, of answers. Some people say that they pray 10 to 15 times a day, and that they pray in various situations and about different circumstances that they're facing in and throughout the course of their life. I speak to others and ask that same question, and they might say that they pray 10 or less times a day. And in fact, from time to time, people will say, I pray maybe once, if that, on a daily basis. In fact, I was studying with an individual not too long ago, and this individual is a Christian, and the person said that they have not been a Christian for very long, and that they find it difficult for them to pray. And we've engaged in a series of lessons about prayer to show what God identifies about the importance of prayer and the ways of prayer and things of that nature. And I understand that for new Christians, we're not in character, if you would, of bowing and praying to God. Sometimes we may have questions, but at the same time, as Christians, we must continue to grow and to understand God and what it is that God teaches us in His Word about the importance of praying each and every day as Christians. And in that, I want to ask then, when do you pray? And what does God say about when we should pray? And then in like figure, why do you pray? Often people will turn to God whenever things are not going right. And certainly God wants us to turn to Him whenever things aren't going as we expect them to go. But friends, also God wants to hear from us whenever things are right. God wants to hear from us to not only seek His guidance and to seek His forgiveness and such, and to help us in the situations, but God wants us to turn to Him with thanksgiving because of the mighty things of which He has and continues to do in our lives. Tonight, let's talk about prayer. And as we enter into the lesson of prayer, the importance of prayer, to begin with, I want us to identify the people of prayer. And when we think with regard to the people of prayer, I want us to realize from a biblical standpoint is that God expects you and me to pray for ourselves. Prayer was very important to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we find that Jesus prayed for Himself from time to time. We understand that as you read in regard to the things that Jesus Himself was getting ready to face in dying the cruel and undeserving death at Calvary, Jesus prayed three times to the Father. Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. Who was He praying for? He was praying for Himself, and that within itself, as well as other places where we read that Jesus prayed for Himself, serves as examples that you and I also have biblical authority to pray for ourselves. And as we pray for ourselves, we need to understand that we are important to God. And therefore, as we're praying for ourselves, for our health and things of that nature, God wants us then to trust in Him. But then, in like figure, not only should we, must we pray for ourselves, we should and we must pray for others. Well, who should we be praying for? We should be praying for our families. And there are a number of things that we must, that we ought to pray for whenever it comes to our families. I oftentimes pray that our family, Dawn and I, that our children and our those that they have married, that we will be able to enjoy many years with each other, and that we will be able to have long and healthy lives in productive service in His kingdom. But you know, I believe that the greatest thing that we ought to be praying for is that our families will become saved, that they will become members of the body of Christ But then also that they will continue to live faithful before God continually. But then also, I believe that the Bible teaches us very clearly that we are to pray for those who are lost. Not bidding them Godspeed in any sense of the fashion, but rather praying that their eyes would be open. But friends, as we're praying for their eyes to be open, then we also ought to be praying, I believe, for opportunities that we might have before God and before these individuals to teach them the way of salvation, to teach them the truth about the Bible and about our God and about the one true church that Jesus Christ died for and established there as we read of it in the book of Acts chapter 2. But friends, also I believe that it is important for us to pray for the church. And the reason that I state that is because we find continually in the New Testament Scripture where that certain ones were praying for the church, praying for members of the church specific, or praying for the church itself in a universal sense, or even from a local standpoint, that the church of our Lord would stand for the truth. Always, not only here at East End, but that the church universally would understand the significance, the seriousness before God in making sure that we continually align ourselves with what the Bible teaches and with only what the Bible teaches. In that, we need to be praying for leaders, to be praying for church leaders and those who have offered our prayers today, this morning as well as tonight. They have mentioned our church leaders here, our elders, and in that even praying for me as the preacher. And Ricky, I appreciate that. We covet your prayers as leaders. Why? Because we are accountable to God for this congregation and for the things that we do from a scriptural standpoint. And therefore, we covet your prayers so that we will be able to act in wisdom with the wisdom of God and that we will stand to the glorification of His name in all things. But friends, also, as we're praying for leaders, I want to encourage us to pray for the leaders of this world. And from this platform, from this congregation, we do pray for our leaders, world leaders. And I believe it was in our prayer this morning that our prayer leader led us in prayer for our leaders that we would turn back to God. Ronnie, I think you led that prayer. That we would turn back to God as a nation and that we would once again revere Him, and that we would fear Him, that we would follow Him and His holy and inspired will. So we ought to be praying. And I find it interesting too, as we think about the people of prayer, is that people oftentimes come to us and ask us to pray for them. And we ought to be people to say to them, I will pray for you. And I want to trust, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt here, is that we do that quite well to say, sure, I'll pray for you, but friends, let's follow through with that. If we say that we're going to pray for someone, let's just not say that and then go on our merry way. But rather, let's make sure that we do stop what we're doing and maybe at that very moment pray with them and for them so that they know from that point there that we have honored their request for us to pray for them. And if it's not in their presence, then I want to encourage us that the next time that maybe we text them, the next time that we message them on Facebook, or the next time that we're able to speak face to face with them, that we tell them, I have been praying for you. You asked me to pray for you, and I have been praying for you. But then also, whenever we have people who are in situations, whenever we have people whose lives aren't going as they ought to be going, from a sin standpoint or from the challenges, the trials of life, I want to encourage us to ask people, can we pray for you? If you've not done that, I want to ask you to think within yourself and to ask yourself, why haven't I done that? If you have done that, you know farewell is that that brings great comfort and courage to people. And it encourages them, it motivates them, and it generates their thoughts even towards God. The fact that we would ask, can I pray for you? And they oftentimes will say, in fact, I don't believe, well, I take that back. I start to say, I don't believe I've had a time where someone has told me that they wouldn't take my request for me to pray for them. But in Australia and New Zealand both, when I've dealt with atheist, and I've said, "Can I pray for you?" They've said, "No." So only I've had an atheist tell me that. But others always say, "Yes, by all means, please pray for me. I need your prayer." So there are people of prayer from a biblical standpoint, and there's a purpose of prayer. As we understand in Scripture, we are to pray for healing. And I've coveted your prayers over the last several days, and I still covet your prayers. Tonight I'm feeling even better than I felt this morning, but I still don't feel quite 100%. And I know that I'm healing, and many here are healing from different things, and therefore, let's continue to pray for one another, or let's even reach outside of our congregation and pray for healing within people who have situations in their life, within their physical bodies, that they maybe have answers for, but yet they've not healed, or they don't have answers for. Let's be praying for these individuals, and Susan's going in for surgery on Tuesday. I don't believe anything's changed there. Let's be praying for our sister. She's going in for this procedure, that everything will go well with that, but also that everything will go well as she heals. Brenda's another one. And Janice. So many within our own congregation, and Julie. Who are going through different things. And let's pray for these people that they will be able to be healed. And let's pray also for forgiveness. You know, none of us are perfect. We're striving for perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we ought to do that faithfully each and every day of our life. And as I identified from the context of our lesson this morning, all still sin and fall short of the glory of God. We need the continual cleansing of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I'm reading the context of what we find in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through verse 10 right, in order for us to receive that continual cleansing, we must ask continual forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. And then and only then does that blood continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, how are we to pray, and what is the purpose of prayer? In regard to this matter, the Apostle Paul, in writing to those at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, says these words, "Be anxious for nothing." In other words, don't worry about things. Why? He says, don't worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request or petition be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Boy, that verse has a lot to say, does it not? Don't worry about anything, but rather let go and let God. Turn it over to God in prayer and in supplication, and God will fill your life then with a peace that surpasses all understanding. And isn't that true? Whenever we pray, we can turn things loose and to say, it's now in the hands of someone who is much greater than I am, the one who is responsible for the creation of everything, even for my very life. And friends, in doing so, what are we saying? I believe that in part we're saying, are we not, that we believe in God. And that speaks volumes to Him. But that's also, is it not, a testimony to the world and also to our brethren. And then in like figure, it speaks to us to say that I realize that I need more than me in my life. I need God's help. I need God's guidance. I need God's healing. I need God's forgiveness during my times of trial and such that I face. The Bible goes on to identify the principles of prayer. As we are praying, the Bible says that we are to ask in faith. And asking in faith, according to what we find in James chapter 1, verses 5 through verse 8, is that we are to ask without doubting. And oftentimes we may be guilty of praying, and then at the same time we still worry about whatever it is that we have supposedly turned over to God in prayer. And if we're still worrying about it, friends, we've not turned it over to Him. And if we're still worrying about it, then in reality we're not asking in faith. We're not truly believing in the One that we say that we believe in. And the promises that He makes us, that He will be with us through no matter what it is that we face. He also identifies in regard to these principles is that we in believing, receive. You see, if we want to be recipients of the things that we take before God, we must believe in Him with all fullness of our hearts. And He also then identifies, in order for us to be a recipient, in order for us to be on the receiving end, we must keep His commandments, to do His will, because He identifies that only those who do His will are going to be able to be found in favor with Him, and it's those individuals that He's continually looking for. Who are the participants then in prayer? Christians are the participants in prayer in a general sense. Every single one of us as members of the body of Christ have that avenue of prayer, and therefore I ask again, as I did as we were getting ready to begin, well, to begin with, do you pray? And if you do pray, how often do you pray? When do you pray and why do you pray? But not only from a general standpoint, should and must all of us pray whenever we come together as the body of Christ in the church, as the church, for the purpose of worshiping our God. The men are to lead us in prayer. And men, I want to thank you as you stand before us here at East End and lead us in prayer. Number one, I believe that you lead us scripturally in prayer in the fact that we address our Heavenly Father. And we understand that the Holy Spirit intercedes our prayers and He conveys the message before our Heavenly Father, and we pray through the mediator, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the reason that I say that that is scriptural is because that those things are defined in the Bible, is that this is indeed in a line with, in accordance with, the way that God tells us that we must address Him according to Spirit and in truth, if you would, on that measure or those matters. And in this, then, in like figure, you pray relevant prayers. You pray prayers that deal with us as a congregation. You offer up prayers before God that deal with individual members and families that we're facing, and also that we face here in our community and throughout the entirety of the world. And men, I commend you whenever you stand before us in prayer for the ways in which you focus, and for the things in which you say, as well as the structure of the prayers of which you lead before us as a congregation. But also, I want to encourage us tonight. The Bible teaches us is that prayer leads to changes. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches in regard to there are parts of prayer. According to what Paul has told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 4, he says, in supplication and prayer and intercession and thanksgiving. You say, well, what is all of that about? These are different types, if you would, of prayers that are under consideration. You have those prayers that are led in public settings. You have prayers that are led from the individual in a private sector. You have prayers that are generated by family members. And he says that these all are parts of prayers. And as we're praying, the Bible says that we are to pray to give thanks unto our God. And friends, how often do we do that? We've already said, and I'm going to repeat it for emphasis sake, and that is that often we go to God whenever we need things. And friends, God wants that so much. But let's not forget to go to God and to thank Him every single day. I encourage us all to be praying multiple times. And I want to encourage us, if you're not doing this, to do this. To give thought to it, please. Just thank God every time that you pray to Him. Even whenever things aren't right. Even whenever you're dealing with things that are really weighing heavy on you, burdening you down. In reality, don't we all still have a lot to be thankful for? Amen? We have an unreal amount of blessings in our lives. And therefore, let's thank God, even in the times of our trials, and maybe even, this is going to be a tough one here, maybe even thank Him for the trial that we are in. I was talking with somebody who came to visit me. I believe it was on Friday in the hospital. Don was there. And I'm not going to mention the name of the individual or the people that he was telling me about. But the individual's mother had gone through cancer and said that his dad and mom were, they love each other. They've been together for many, many years. The kids are all out of the house, have families of their own. And said that the mother was diagnosed with cancer. And she was going through cancer treatments, and it had been in their relationship that the wife kind of had her life, went and did her things, and the husband went and did their things, and they had a few things that they did with one another, but still at the same time, for the most part, they led separate lives. But he said, you know what happened as a result of her cancer? Now they're best of friends. And friends, God has a strange way sometimes of working those terrible moments in our lives to be blessings. She's now cancer-free. And today she has a greater marriage than she had entering into that. We have to be people who thank God continually and to petition God even during the times that things aren't right. The Bible then also identifies perils of prayer. And perils of prayer, it's the idea and the fact that we will have sufferings that we go through, and it's during those times that God certainly expects to hear from us. And also identifying is that because we are Christians, and then in like figure, sometimes because we are Christians and we enter into prayer, is that we will be persecuted. Does anyone remember reading of a man in the Old Testament? Not really a real known character, Daniel. I say that in jest. We all know about Daniel. And he prayed with his windows open in spite of a decree that was issued by the governor of that day. And there were consequences as a result of that. God says, don't let those things scare you from praying to me. Pray fervently and let your requests be known unto God. There are so many different privileges of prayer. And as we think with privileges of prayer, we know that God hears everyone, correct? He sees everything. He knows all things. And therefore, He's everywhere, omnipresent. And then with that then, He's attuned to even whenever people are praying to Him, and yet at the same time, they do not have a relationship with Him. And I'm not saying is that in some form or fashion that they have a relationship with Him. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying, He hears that, and yet at the same time, here's what ought to bring us joy, is that as Christians, He hears our prayers in a different light than what He hears the prayers of those who are lost. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? He hears our prayers with favor. And what I mean by that is that because we are children of God, we get what we ask for. As long as, I'm going to qualify that, as long as we don't ask amiss. James chapter 4 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21 declares those measures. We have such a privilege as Christians of being able to pray. And therefore God says, engage in prayer. How often? The Bible teaches us about the persistence of prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to those in Thessalonica, said, pray without ceasing. And his epistle to those at Colossae, here's what he said in verse 6. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. That word earnestly is most interesting. It carries with it this idea and understanding that is within us, is that we know that not only do we have to pray to God, that's what He wants, but we have to pray to God because that's what we want and that's what we need. He says, continue earnestly in prayer. And I think that Paul's kind of saying the same thing to both of these churches. Have a continual, devoted prayer life every single day. And whenever you do, your life will be of greater peace, and your life will be of greater joy. and your soul will be of greater pureness, and your hope will be a greater assurance to be able to go to heaven someday. Prayer. There are values in prayer. And tonight we've only touched the hem of the garment. And therefore I want to encourage each and every one of you, as well as I want to encourage always myself, to study the purpose and the powers of prayer, and then to apply those teachings to our lives. We have individuals here tonight who are not New Testament Christians. We want you to know that God loves you and He gives you patiently an opportunity once again tonight to become a Christian, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and in that confession that you would submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. We would assist you to that very end. There was an individual today, Trent had called from Mount Leo, and their baptistry was empty, and an individual who's attending out at Smart Station had gotten in touch with them, and one of their elders and one of their members had studied with the individual several years ago, and now the individual's attending out at Smart Station. He contacted Trent and said, "I want to be baptized." And their baptistry at Mount Leo is empty due to some complications with the cracking and such. So Trent called and says, "Can we use your baptistry?" And I said, "Absolutely." It's been used tonight and we'd like to use it again. If you're here and you're subject to this invitation in any way, please come.